This is the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter. Presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Now, here are Denise and Hunter, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome, everybody, to this Thursday edition of Newsmakers at Noon. I am Denise Quinn.
And this is Hunter Newton.
And joining us on the phone with our every other Thursday guest, Jeff Reynolds, Senior Editor, Restoration-News.com, Senior Investigative Researcher, Restoration of America, former Oregonian, now Florida man. How are you, Jeff?
I am doing fantastic. It is beautiful out right now. It's about 80 degrees, not a cloud in the sky. We were down at the beach trying to watch the rocket launch. Unfortunately, we were just outside the visibility range, and there was a little bit of haze on the horizon, so we didn't get to see anything. But it was a nice excuse to have a drink in a bar next to the beach. So
I'm actually quite jealous. We watched it on TV. We had the NASA feed up. There's a great article over at restoration-news.com that we'll talk about a little later in the show, because there's a lot of stuff. I'm excited about this. I mean, it feels like we're kind of back to space. I think, Jeff, you and I are of the generation that remember that as kids. I think I may be a little older than you, but I was a little kid in 69 when all this was going on. I do remember it. And I've talked to Hunter. I remember, ew, we got Tang out of that. Blah. And the nasty space stick. So I'm excited about this. But I want to jump right in, because breaking news before we went on the air, which I'm very happy about. Pam Bondi is no longer our attorney general. Kind of like, yay for me.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I thought she was by far the worst hire that Trump 2.0 made.
Yeah.
So I was disappointed when he chose her, and I was glad to see, you know, I mean, she's done such a inadequate job of handling the Epstein files in particular. I think that is really something that will haunt her legacy, and we needed a lot more action out of all of that. We needed a lot more legal action out of all of that.
Honestly,
we needed a lot more indictments of the people in the Biden administration that were responsible for the lawfare against Donald Trump. I mean, there were so many things where you should have had people being perp walked out of their offices. And because it was Pam Bondi and her half measures and her penchant for not rocking the boat, that doomed that whole effort from the start.
Well, two things for me. I think Bindergate with the influencers and all of that, she should have been fired then. And then if I had to see her on Fox News, I mean, okay, she looked nice. Somebody did nice makeup on her, and she's out there constantly on Fox News, and then a lot of sternly worded emails and things like that. I found her just completely inadequate. I think a lot of people did. So now there's kind of speculation. I guess the deputy is stepping up. I forget his name. What'd you say? Todd Blanche is the guy they're saying
he's the deputy attorney general, and he's going to fill in at least for the time being.
Okay. Well, I'm seeing a couple of names, and tell me if you guys have seen these names. I'm seeing Lee Zeldin. He's EPA director right now. And then I'm also seeing, I think we're all fans of Ms. Harmeet Dhillon, and then Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, all three would be a massive upgrade over what
yes.
we currently have. Mm-hmm. So that's number one. I would love to see Ron DeSantis take this. He's got such a strong legal background and a proven track record of kicking butt and taking names and getting things done. I'm not sure he wants this, even though he is term limited out.
Yeah,
he's finishing his second term and he can't run for re-election. So I'm not sure this is the role he would want, but, you know, maybe as a bridge to his next step afterwards, it would be a good career enhancer for him.
I got to ask you, as a now Florida man, does DeSantis being term limited out, does that give you agita?
A little bit, because the primary field is questionable at best, and you don't know if we're going to be able to keep the momentum going of his massive accomplishments, or if it's going to be the revenge of the swamp and the revenge of the Bush wing of the Republican Party going out of the primary, you know. So we will see. There's lots of palace intrigue going on in Florida in the primary.
I bet. But yeah, back to Harmeet. I mean, I'm seeing that, Hunter. I'm sure you're seeing that. Mm-hmm. I've always liked Harmeet. I follow her out on socials. We have a number of mutual friends that have interacted with her personally that are kind of like big fans. She's good out there. She doesn't pull any punches out on X, and I love that. It's like she just lays it out.
Yeah, totally. And I think if we're talking about Harmeet or DeSantis or Lee Zeldin, all three represent a much more muscular and aggressive posture from the attorney general, which is what we should have had from the beginning. And that was Bondi's big failing. So, Harmeet is fantastic. And she's taken on a lot of cases that we really care about, like the COVID lockdowns and the unfair prosecution of people for living their lives during the pandemic, and lots of religious liberty stuff. And she's currently in the assistant role for civil rights, which is a great role for her. But I think that's the next logical step would be her prosecuting the people who were responsible for the lawfare, the Jack Smiths of the world. And those people that spied on a sitting president and members of Congress, too.
Yeah, nobody's mentioning Lindsey Graham and his bubble wand. I don't know. I mean, that could be something. He's got a bubble wand, man.
he's perfectly fine where he's at.
He can stay there. He's still effective.
Cheerleading for foreign wars.
Oy vey. Well, it is going to be interesting. Like we said, it's so funny. I love social media. You love it or hate it, but did you know that everybody is breaking this news?
Everybody.
Everybody's breaking it. Everybody's breaking it.
it's funny. Twitter these days is dominated by people who sensationalize everything. You know, I'm thinking of a couple of people in particular that I won't name, but it's always breaking or major news alert or whatever. You know, it's all caps and, you know, sirens and everything.
So and so destroyed. I think we're probably thinking of some of the same people. Well, I'm happy about I'm happy about this. Like I said, all three of us have been very disappointed in her tenure. And I saw Trump put out a truth on it, saying it was very nice. It was very nicely worded. It was a very sort of a euphemistic tweet. She's going into another role. She'll be in the private sector. She's a lovely lady. And it's like, that's fine. I get that. The politics of it all.
I love the fact that being future endeavored has become a verb.
Oh my gosh.
We wish her well in her future endeavors.
Yes. Bye bye. Be gone. Be gone. All right, let's go ahead and take a break, and then we're going to come back again. Restoration-news.com, and I always say this, you need to bookmark this. I want to come back and talk because the moon landing was also yesterday. Or the moon launch, the Artemis 2 launch, which to me, I'm super excited about this. Being, you know, a kid, a little teeny kid in the whole 60s space race, we're excited about this. And you've got a great article out there about kind of how it transcends. And I love this. It transcends the anti-scientific climate activism. So we're going to come back and we're going to dig a little bit deeper into that with Jeff Reynolds. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Salem Clinic Urgent Care and Color Tile of Salem.
Alrighty. Okay. So I know I did. I was tuned in. The mustache and I had the NASA channel up, and we watched the launching of Artemis 2 with the four astronauts. Super cool. It harkened back. I actually got tears in my eyes. I got emotional watching it. I really did. I mean, I'm like, this is a big deal to me. This is exploration, and this is science, and this is adventure. This is stuff that we grew up with. You know, if you're Gen Jones, Gen X, boomers too, sure.
Yeah. Well, we talked.
Even you, Hunter.
We talked about it yesterday. You know,
we did.
America is built. Every young kid has the idea that I want to be an astronaut. I want to be an archaeologist. Yep. I want to go out and explore unexplored areas. Yep. And yet we've really put a pause on that in society for the last number of decades, and we've squashed a lot of kids' dreams. And I sit there and go, the kid that is going viral for his CNN interview literally is the poster child of the excitement of this space launch.
It's fantastic, and it has gone viral. So the article we're talking about over at restoration-news.com is how the upcoming moon mission transcends anti-scientific climate action. So, Jeff, why don't you go ahead and break down a little bit of this? I read this morning in preparation. I love this article, and we'll discuss some of the stuff that the author brings up as far as risk aversion and why we are where we are and why, Hunter, yeah, that little kid who went viral, yeah, he dropped an F-bomb, but I'm good with that, and why that excitement is contagious and why we need more of it. So go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, that kid finally actually brought some excitement to CNN for once. I know. So good for him. Maybe people will start watching again if they drop more F-bombs. But I got to tell you, my daughter was just bouncing off the walls yesterday. And
cool.
She was mad that more people at school weren't as excited as she was about this. She's suddenly taken a huge interest in outer space and the space race and everything involved. And so, yeah, she and her boyfriend went off to the beach to go watch the launch. They weren't able to see it, but you know, she was thrilled by the whole thing. And so this article that you're talking about at restoration-news.com is by one of our senior writers, Kevin Mooney, who has been writing for decades on climate hysteria, climate change, and the anti-scientific views of the people that believe in climate change. And the article he wrote for us was about how we've become so risk averse as a society that we don't dare to do great things. You know, we allow ourselves to feel guilt about wanting to be great instead of just simply going out there and doing great things
and being great and doing it.
So
when we bubble wrapped entire generations of kids, where, you know, you think back to when we were little kids and, you know, the old line of, we didn't come home until the street lights were on. Sure, I'm going to ride my bike around the block when really I'm two towns over visiting my friends. And, you know, and he dropped some examples in here, and I like this. In fact, there may not have been a free United States of America if George Washington hadn't crossed the Delaware on that Christmas night in 1776. There were risks. John Kennedy's patriotic march to the moon. So these four astronauts going up, they're part of this very American push, this feeling, this exploration, this excitement about knowing more, of going out and finding out more. And I'm like I said, I'm excited. First of all, I can't believe your daughter has a boyfriend, that she's old enough. My gosh. And you know, the little kid dropping the F-bomb, I want to see more of that. What's kind of disappointing is so many people are like, well, it's too expensive and we really should spend it over here. And that, I don't have time for those people. They need to just get out of the way and let these astronauts do it, and let these kids get that excitement again.
So, you know, I've got a former boss who's a baby boomer, and she's since retired as of a couple of years ago. But she was on social media last night saying, well, I don't get why they're calling this historic. I was there in 1969 when they, you know, I was there for the first Apollo missions, and I don't see this as, these people aren't the same. And yeah, I was like, wow. Yeah, I was kind of shocked by that. I really had to bite my tongue in responding. And, you know, the reason it's so exciting and so daring and so incredible is there's a couple of reasons. One is it'll be the furthest anybody's ever flown away from the Earth. That's a big deal. That's a big milestone. The idea that they're going to orbit the far side of the moon and come back and survey for a moon base is really the big deal. You know, that's the whole point, is that they're setting up to go back next year and start building a base on the moon. And that is then going to be the launch pad for going to Mars.
Yeah.
So, yes, this is the first step in a very long chain of daring to do really great things. And yes, we should be doing this. And by God, we're America, and we're the ones that lead on this sort of thing. It's no mistake, by the way, that we're doing this during the same year that we're celebrating our 250th birthday.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you raised that point, because there's a lot of excitement behind that as well. And we need to start growing that among our kids, because they don't have enough of that.
Yeah. And yeah, the historical relevance of this and hearkening back to, you know, when we were all younger in this exploration thing, I'm sitting here going in my head, I'm going, America wouldn't be discovered if today's generation were the ones that had to hop on a ship and sail across the Pacific Ocean.
Right. Yeah. I might get seasick. Ew, what if the food sucks? Gosh, what if there's no Wi-Fi?
Well,
oh,
if
wait,
you've ever
sorry.
Watched the Wi-Fi, if you've ever watched the Peanuts holiday Thanksgiving special about crossing of the Mayflower, mm-hmm. you know, that's how I know about what it was like to actually dare to cross the ocean. Like, yeah, because they broke their mast. They couldn't move. You know, there was real treachery there, and they dared to do it anyway. And we are a nation that has dared to do huge things that were mm-hmm. impossible for our entire history. And we used to teach that as our national history. Now we teach that we are systemically racist and yeah. that we should feel guilty for all of the crimes of our ancestors and not take any credit for any of the things that we've achieved. We've gotten it completely backwards. And by daring to do these great things, we can reorient ourselves back towards teaching America what it's like to be great.
Yeah. And it's going to take a little bit, because you've got maybe two generations, because you've got parents coming up that were raised that way. If they were public school kids, where, yeah, it's like the only thing that they're taught about the founding fathers is that they owned slaves, not anything else. And everybody is defined by whatever their worst thing they did was. And they leave out the greatness and all the things that were wonderful. And I'm glad you mentioned, too, that this is happening during the, I'm not going to say it right. It's not sesquicentennial. Anyway, 250 years. Mm-hmm. That this is at the same time. I'm seeing a lot of excitement. I don't know if it's trickling down. I think it's going to take a little while, but the fact that this is happening, and there are a lot of people that do have platforms that are saying the same things we are, maybe can shift and change that narrative. And I think, like that little kid on CNN, people want to be excited about that. It's a dirge. It's just very exhausting to hate your own country. And people, I think, are rejecting that, and especially kids. It's just, ugh.
Yeah, no, we've forgotten for a long time to think about all of the positives, right?
Yeah.
Because there are so many. I mean, we're so tribal. We're at each other's throats.
Yeah.
We're so divided as a country. We're on the verge of civil war. Well, you know, let's sit back and kind of reassess that and see if that really holds, or if, you know, maybe there's something good to think about. Maybe there are some achievements that we ought to be proud of.
Philippians, whatever is good, whatever, you know, Philippians 4, let's get that into our hearts. And again, taking chances and accepting the risks. Accepting the risks is a big one. I mean, we've got helicopter parents and bubble wrap kids. That needs to go away. And I think a lot of kids want to break out of that bubble wrap. And so this is exciting. Hopefully we'll get something as cool as Tang out of this. I mean, we got microwave ovens. Just think about the technology we got out of that back in the day. So who knows what's going to be developed here.
Well, I heard that they were having difficulty with their toilets. So,
I heard that too. Ooh.
hopefully that doesn't become a thing that we take back with us.
A better toilet? Well, you know, maybe space bidets.
I don't even want to know how that would work.
I don't.
You really need gravity for that to not create a disaster.
To not be a thing. Yeah, Yeah, that might not be. I mean, we already have the low flow toilets, which, you know.
Right.
I'm going, yeah, I don't know if they're going to make those massive improvements based on the space trip. We'll find out.
Well, I'm assuming you guys are going to be following this. Like I said, it launched yesterday. They're kind of in space. They're doing a lot of experimentation. They're using actual science, not modeling like the climate people. You know, let's do a computer model. It's actually hard science that they're doing up there. So I have a lot of hope for it.
Right, and that's the distinction that Kevin draws in his article models are not science because they're not falsifiable, and it's all about garbage in, garbage out. A computer model cannot do a scientific experiment. It can estimate, and that's the best it can do.
And that's why, you know, a lot of the climate stuff that we have coming out, as far as I'm concerned, is garbage.
Well, and the other part is with all this thing now, everything is AI, and AI mm-hmm. is as good as the programmer who's telling it what to think. Yeah.
And now we have AI hallucinating. That's not a good thing.
Right. And for a long time, AI has faced criticisms that it's telling you what you want to hear instead of telling you the actual truth. Right. It wants to be liked.
Yes. Which,
you know, I don't know why AI would want to be liked. I guess it's there's a motivation there that the more you like it, the better, the more often you're going to use it. Right.
It's love bombing us right now, right? It's just love bombing us.
Well, but it's led to some legal problems. My understanding is there's a couple of attorneys who have utilized AI to
in Salem.
Yeah, to present their case, and it cited case law that wasn't actually real.
It hallucinated. And unfortunately, the human didn't cross-check it, and now he's got some serious fines on him. So always, always check it. I actually had to, I use AI for some stuff, and I got mad at my AI, and I yelled at it. And it apologized. Oh, you're right. That was bad. That was really bad. So, you know, I don't know. I think we're being love bombed right now. Pretty soon it's going to be like, I don't care what you think, stupid human. I'm going to do whatever I want.
Yeah, AI is just lulling us into a false sense of security before it starts taking over and becomes sentient and, you know, releases all the Terminators.
Oh, gosh. Skynet. All right, we're coming up on the bottom of the hour. There's another article I want to talk about because, of course, we all witnessed what happened on No Kings last week. And we're going to talk about a local person who was in Portland, and we're going to share that. Come on back on the other side.
The Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance, continues. Here are Denise and Hunter on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape and GA at Home.
All right, everybody. Thanks for hanging out with us on this second day of April. Holy crimoli. Oh, yes, we are. I guess we're in spring, or we're technically in spring.
We're technically in spring, yeah. The rains came, they've kind of faded away, and now we're supposed to, you know, mid-70s by Sunday. So, you know.
Hey, I guess maybe it's over. I don't know. No, never say never.
As warm as I am.
This is Oregon, where the weather is as bipolar as you can get. I literally got a text message yesterday about going out because the weather had broken as it was raining and hailing with hail mixed in right here in Kaiser. I'm going, are you sure you're seeing what I'm seeing?
Yeah, it's that time of year. Not for you, Jeff. We know, 80s and sunny. We know, we know. But over here on the left coast, it's anything but. Because, you know, even like I have some friends in southern Idaho who have 8 inches of snow this morning. So.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. All right. Okay. So last weekend, I mentioned too earlier in the week, I was over in Olympia. I had the distinct privilege of driving through the No Kings rally down there by the Capitol in Olympia, which I, you know what, I love Olympia. It's one of my favorite cities. It's kind of overrun now. It wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be, but I love Percival Landing. I love the waterfront. I have a real soft spot in my heart for Olympia. And so, you know, most of the people that were watching that I drove by, it kind of had a party atmosphere. There were Trump supporters mixed in. A lot of people hate Governor, is it Turd Ferguson, right?
Yeah,
am I right?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. And most everybody kind of hates this guy because, you know, who wants a wealth tax? But overall, it had a party atmosphere. It was very unserious. There were costumes and there were makeup. But there's another side to this. And I know, Jeff, your colleague, this is her second article. And I follow her out on X, and she's a great follow. Shelley Bufarache. Exclusive: Portland No Kings develops into riots, federal agents doused with lighter fluid. Portland has obviously been ground zero for this. So we see, like you said, they're LARPing, which for those who don't know is live action role play. They're just out there. They're pretending. They're having a good time. They're having fun. It's when the sun goes down that the roaches come out, that the real bad stuff comes out. So Shelley lays it out in this article. So Jeff, I'm going to throw it to you. I read this a couple of days ago because this came out on the 31st. But this is a really good rundown of what really happens in these things when the sun goes down.
Yeah, and for all of the listeners, you can follow Shelley on X, Twitter, under her handle, Honey Badger Mom. And she's created quite a following for herself.
Yes.
And we're glad to have her as a contributor at Restoration News. But she's spent about a decade covering extremist protest movements and radical riots and the whole thing. I mean, she's been out there with Proud Boys. She's been out there with Antifa. She's been out there. I mean, she's been assaulted. She's really gone through it. And she's one of the most courageous reporters I've ever encountered, because
she
keeps going out there and keeps on doing it. You know, she got punched in the back of the head last year by somebody who sucker punched her. You know, so she really does a good job. And so she's reporting something that nobody else reported. So we got exclusive access to this that there were several federal agents at the ICE building that were doused with lighter fluid. And it's the same lighter fluid that they were using to light the American flag on fire in the middle of the street. You know, so one wrong wayward spark and these guys would have been in a world of hurt. You know, my understanding is that they went home and didn't even know, they didn't even smell the lighter fluid on themselves, because they've been so desensitized with so much
tear gas and
pepper spray and all of that. So when they finally got home and got ready for bed, that's when they realized they were covered in this stuff. So they are escalating, and anybody says that they're not escalating is lying. We've seen a lot of lying going on in the mainstream media.
Oh, yeah.
The legacy media in Oregon is particularly bad about carrying the narrative for the left and not exposing the true radicalism of these people. And Portland's really in a bad place, because they've got four admitted members of the Democratic Socialists of America Party. And several others who are sympathetic, but don't want to put their name on the dotted line. But these people are all avowed communists. Mm-hmm. They're avowed revolutionaries. They are people who believe in violent overthrow of the American government. And these people are in local and state government.
Yeah.
And they tacitly approve all of these radical tactics by these rioters in Portland.
And they are escalating it, and you're right. And the Peacock Group or something? There's a name for it.
Yeah, the Peacock Group of Portland City Councilors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they've expanded the city council, and you're right. And they do provide cover for it, and it is escalating. And again, this article is, especially if you don't have an X account, because some of her tweets are out there, and there's video of them escalating it. Portland ICE building, it looks like they breached the gates again. I can't tell from here. And again, she's right there in the thick of it. God bless her. Again, this woman is very brave. She says they're peeling back the plywood. There's all kinds of videos.
They tore down the video cameras. They spray painted everything, you know, of course, as they do. But yeah, they tore down the gates and breached the perimeter of the ICE facility, a federal facility. They're lucky that the feds didn't respond with more force, because they would certainly be within their rights to do so, and that would have created a whole other situation.
And you have to wonder, Portland Police Bureau, she posits that it's not the officers on the ground, it's the leadership. And I really do think that the officers, although I don't know why they stay, I can't imagine getting up every morning or going to a night shift or going there knowing that literally my life is on the line. Literally, I could be assaulted. I mean, I'm being doused with fluid, lighter fluid and flammables and things like that. I mean, they have fireworks fired at them. But this is a leadership issue. It's not a rank and file issue.
Oh yeah, they're absolutely being told to stand down and not respond, or not assist the federal law enforcement officers when they're in trouble. This is a common thing across blue cities. We saw this happen in Chicago with Mayor Brandon Johnson and Governor J.B. Pritzker, who have made it illegal for state and city police to assist. And that's what there was a CBP or ICE agent who was hit by an SUV. It was the SUV a few months back, right? The federal SUV was trying to escape and it got blocked in by a bunch of vehicles, and the Chicago police refused to assist, and these guys got assaulted.
Yeah, I remember that.
Well, I sit there in that situation. I'm going, that's called reckless driving by the people that are driving awkwardly and blocking them in. And I'm just going, there's your simple way of dealing with that situation as a local police officer. And they still choose not to do that. That's what frustrates me.
Well, it's not even reckless driving. It's felonious assault. I mean, that's assault with a deadly weapon.
Yep.
So then what they're hearing is, well, resign if you don't like it, leave. And there are a lot of agencies, a lot of red state agencies, red city agencies that are saying, come to us. So then you've got the narrative of defund, and you're hearing that in New York. And just general disrespect, you know, their hands are, I don't know anybody, and I have family in law enforcement. I know people in law enforcement. You don't go into law enforcement for this crap. You go into law enforcement because you want to protect and serve. Who's being protected and who's being served in Portland?
Yeah, and that's a really important point, because what you end up having is brain drain. You're seeing this across sectors. It's not just in the police, right? Oregon is losing high earners. Is losing people of means, because they don't want to pay these ridiculous wealth taxes and death taxes and capital gains taxes imposed on them by the state government and the city governments. So the same effect is going on in the police bureaus. You know, all the good cops and all the experienced ones are taking early retirements.
Yep.
And not dealing with this crap anymore. We saw this after the Occupy movement. We saw it after the first Trump inauguration in 2017. And we're seeing it today, where the good ones are saying, this isn't worth it to me. I'm not actually protecting the public. And so they're either moving to a different agency or retiring early or just quitting altogether. And what you're left with is the people who are the ones that want to wear the shiny boots and goose step around and impose on people's rights.
Mm-hmm. So is that going to make you, if you're a neighbor, you're somebody in Portland, you're going to feel comfortable with that's what's left on the police force? Huh?
Well, that's the irony of me. I'm sitting there going, I remember when I was younger, and kind of the big joke was, you know, these guys that choose to be police officers, they're just kind of the kids that were left out. They were the last one picked in soccer, and they're going to kind of take it out now as they get older. And I'm kind of going, but that's what you're left with when you put these defund the police. And we can sit there and go, oh, these cops are bad, they're crooked, they're this and that. But the more you point that out, the more that's what you're going to get, rather than the good guys out there protecting the citizens, when you're expecting your officers to protect the criminal element instead.
Amen. It's like the people, you don't want the person who's dying for the job of a politician because they want to be famous and have the title. You want the person that goes into it for the right reasons and maybe has to be persuaded a little bit to do it.
Yeah, and I do want to say most cops are still stand-up quality human beings.
Absolutely, yes.
You know, I support the police 100%.
Me too, yep.
So I'm not trying to denigrate the guys that are left. I'm just saying that, you know, a lot of times when you lose that real experience, you know, the ones that have been around for a couple of decades and don't want to deal with crap anymore, when you lose those guys, then you don't have anybody to train the next generation of cops that are coming up and impart that ethic. Yeah, right. And what's worth worrying about and what's worth letting go, right? I mean, a lot of policing is done by gut instinct based on experience, right? When you lose that, then you lose the intuition that's important, and you then do things more by the book and automatic, but it's not as responsive. It's not like community responsive policing, right?
That's when you get, I'm just following orders.
That's exactly right.
Well, it's simple things like, you know, a teenager shoplifting. And, you know, if an officer gets that kid, sits there and says, you're going to spend a few hours, you got to call your parents and admit to what you did, this and that, that kid is learning a lesson. And now instead we're pretty much saying, well, as long as it's less than $1,000, you and your whole crew can come through and just raid a store and walk out.
Yeah, now you're seeing videos of these kids running rampant and taking over malls and city streets and everything else because of exactly that. That's dangerous.
Right. it's that broken windows policing philosophy that actually works.
It does.
When you stop them when they're doing the small crimes, then they won't escalate to the big crimes. It's not 100%, but it's more often than not that you're going to intervene in somebody's life in a way that makes them reassess their direction.
I think we all have those stories. I still remember when I was 5 and I was at Newberry's and I pocketed a thimble and my mom marched me back to the store and made me give that thimble back to the clerk, admit that I took it, apologize. And I'm like, I've never forgotten that lesson.
That's
I don't
right.
Think, I, you know, you don't forget those things.
My little shoplifting story actually involved police officers, where a couple of bags of candy out of a grocery store, police, you know, ride to the police station in the back seat and then had to get to put in a holding cell while I waited for an hour for my parents to come get me. So that's a little bit of the I don't think I'm going to shoplift any longer. That doesn't make any sense.
I didn't know you had a record, Hunter.
That's right. Big time. Well, it's been sealed. You know,
Hunter's a hardened criminal.
It was a juvenile record, so it's sealed, so nobody knows.
And here I was feeling all bad about my thimble.
At least you didn't tell anybody about it on the radio.
That's right. It didn't make it national news. Come on.
Oh my gosh. And the other side of it, that everybody, these law officers are moms and dads and they have kids and they have families. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think about too, because I know the risk they take every day to go in and to protect and to serve us. And so that's why I get really angry when you really think about it. And this has got to stop, but I don't see it happening anytime soon in Portland. And frankly, and a Honey Badger mom says this too, this is really kind of what the Insurrection Act is for. So at what point even does the Trump administration take a look at this and say, now we've hit that line where that's too far?
Yeah, no, that's been a discussion ever since he retook office, and we're getting to that point, and it's sad because, you know, again, these cops are trying to do the best they can. They want to respond, they want to keep the public safe, and they're being told by leadership, by the political leaders, that they're not allowed to. So at some point, the federal officers have to recognize how unlawful the local and state leadership is and take action. One of the United States Constitution.
Hold on, hang on, Jeff. Hold that thought. We're going to take a break. We're running a little long here. So hold that thought. We're talking to Jeff Reynolds from Restoration-News.com. We're going to finish this conversation on the other side. Come on back.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Cozy's New York Deli, where Denise does an excellent live read.
A genuine taste of New York right here in Salem. Get there, get yourself a gabagool. Do it now, because it's that good. I don't get agita from that.
Well, we need something.
Maybe heartburn, but not agita.
We need something that'll calm you down a little, right?
I know. I feel a little hyper today. All right, Jeff, I want to let you finish up your thought on what we were talking about on the other side about Portland and ugh.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say that the United States Constitution creates the states. The states are created by the federal framework wherein they are required by the Constitution to guarantee a small r republican form of government to its citizens with equal protections under the law and constitutional protections of individual liberties. And when those states are not fulfilling that constitutional responsibility, it would have to be the feds that step in and reorient those states the way they need to be reoriented. It's otherwise we're going to continue to splinter as a society.
Yeah. And real quick, back to the article, Honey Badger Mom, she cited some numbers nationally. ICE law enforcement, 8,000 increase in death threats percent, 13,000% increase in assaults, and 32,000% increase in vehicular attacks. I'm sure those numbers are mirrored in Portland police as well. And so, you know, kind of circling back to where we began this, talking about Pam Bondi getting the kibosh by, maybe this will change now because she hasn't been that. I haven't seen any action from her regarding Portland at all.
Not regarding Portland, no. She did have some things to say about Chicago and Minneapolis, but...
Fox News.
Yeah, right. It was a strongly worded commentary
Yeah,
piece,
that's the challenge.
No actual action. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's the frustrating thing to me. I'm sitting there going, when the Trump administration came into office, the thought process was the people behind COVID, the people behind... The lawfare, the people behind all these things that we could see with our eyes, the people that are lying in front of Congress under oath. Why aren't any of these getting in trouble? And the most recent, of course, is the Don Lemon church raid in Minneapolis, where they arrested all of them. They released all of them. And we haven't heard another word of it since.
Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. No, I think that's a very obvious First Amendment violation of their right to practice their religion without interference.
You know what is happening in a lot of states and a lot of red states? I can cite Idaho. They're making state laws that are making that illegal to do that. And maybe that's the way you go on that, where it really, like you said, it does come down to the states. And so you've got, I really like the mantra of, if you're in a red state, make it completely inhospitable to blue state voters, to progressive communist pagans. You want to make your state inhospitable. That's about the only way, because everyone fears that they're, first you had sort of the political refugees that came over. Now with all the death taxes and the income taxes and, you know, if they're going to ban hunting in Oregon, whatever, you're going to get those refugees, economic refugees, who are going to bring their crappy voting habits with them. So there's the thing, well, make it inhospitable for them. I'm down with that.
Yeah, no, I absolutely think that making it inhospitable for progressive BS is a laudable goal. But I also don't necessarily believe that transplants are the problem.
No.
Turning red states blue.
Okay. And that is an issue that a lot of people that come over, if they're coming over as political refugees, red states should embrace political refugees, because
that's what I am. Added 3 Republican voters to the Florida voter rolls when I moved here. So
yeah, exactly. And people coming from blue states know exactly what's happening. And depending on the red state that you move to, you're at least 5 to 10 years ahead of what's going on. And it's interesting that a lot of the locals there, well, it can never happen here. Oh, hell yes,
well,
it can.
And that's the fear. It's the Isleys of the world, the former governor of Washington State, who liberal policies destroyed it. He says, I'm not running for re-election, packs his bags and moves to Idaho. And I said, the other problem with the idea of liberal proofing your state is that even in red states, usually the big cities are blue controlled already.
I think that's pretty universal across the board. We had about a minute left, Jeff. Anything you want to mention before we put an end to this and get ready to go into our Easter weekend?
Yeah, I just that point about the cities is really intriguing. It's an open question why cities vote so blue when they are the centers of commerce and the engines of our economy. We need our cities.
We do.
Even in red states. We need them to thrive and be functional and be efficient. And when communists like Zohran Mamdani take over big cities like New York, things grind to a halt. And it's mind-blowing that...
About 10 seconds.
Yeah, that we just can't overcome that.
Yeah. Well, that is it. We are out of time. It is Easter weekend. Blessed Easter to everyone. Thank you, guys, and we will see you next week. He is risen.
This has been the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Exclusively on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.